This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where two friends and Mike Scopa talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Christopher. You're wicked funny.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart. Wicked funny. Very funny.
Well, it's good to see you guys. I love sitting and chatting with you guys. I swear, we probably should just not record this and just chat and pretend we're recording for the show.
But we almost have like another whole podcast before we start podcasting, don't we?
It's probably more interesting than the actual podcast. But like I said, also with us is the charming and lovable Mike Scopa.
And that's the show for tonight, folks.
He's charming.
Drive home safely.
Thanks for coming. So tonight we're going to do our third part of our How Long Would You Wait series. But first we're going to talk a little bit about the Run Disney information stuff. I recently sent, and maybe one of us will post a link. Runner's World came out with an article saying if you're traveling for a race during pandemic, you should take extra precaution. And so I was actually reaching out to Mike and Michelle ahead of time saying, hey, we haven't heard anything about what they're planning to do. So, Mike, I was just thinking, we mentioned that earlier before we were on that the Wine and Dine is in about a month. Michelle was telling us that the Boston Marathon's in a couple of days, so it's not that far away. And she's gotten a number of messages. What do you think Disney's requirement here should be to inform the runners what their plans are and when?
Well, we keep waiting to hear about Marathon Weekend, Chris, and you're absolutely right. The Wine and Dine race weekend is in about 27 days, November 4th through the 7th, and I visited the Run Disney site today, and there is nothing mentioned at all. At least I could not find anything on the site regarding any COVID protocols. What is interesting is that the only race that is sold out is the 5K. The 10K and the half is not sold out, and the two race package is also not sold out. So I'm wondering if they are not sold out because people are not too sure about running at this point, and maybe they feel they're going to be safer in January. But getting back to your question, I think that they need to address things like will there be a limit number of people allowed at the expo? Is there going to be a guideline for when you should pick up your bib at the expo? And I think they might be saying something like you must pick up your bib the day before your event. So if you're running the half, then that means that Friday you need to pick it up. If you're running Goofy, I guess you got to pick it up on Thursday or whatever. Not Thursday, maybe Wednesday. So I think they need to address that. I think they need to address how they are going to operate in the corrals. They need to address how they're going to do water stops, the medals. But I think the real elephant in the room, so to speak, is are they going to request proof of vaccination? Are they going to ask each runner to provide that when they go to pick up their bib? I do not see anything for that. Michelle, you're volunteering at the Boston Marathon. Do you know if the Boston Marathon people are asking for that?
Yeah, so both runners and volunteers have to show proof of vaccination or proof of negative COVID tests, I think within 48 hours. So what they have for volunteers is that you have to go into Boston either a few days before and you get a wristband, you show your proof of vaccination, and it can be electronic, or I'm doing it the day of. I have to be there at 6:30 in the morning, so I can do it day of. But runners also have to show proof of vaccination too. And, you know, I think about Disney, and I think this is really interesting. all three of us know that you have to wait in the corrals for a very long time. And Boston is no different. Boston had a runner's village in Hopkinton, and then you'd have to wait hours and hours and hours before you started at 11 o'clock, getting there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And now it's going to be all a gradual release. So there's no runner's village. The people are going to get there and go very, very quickly. I wonder how that would be. If you have, Boston is cut down a lot. If you have thousands and thousands of people, sitting there, we've seen corrals up from A to P, and you're sitting there as A goes and B goes and C goes. Well, what might that look like? So I think it, Chris, one of the things that you said today that really got me thinking was, is Disney going to share these protocols with us? Do they have them in mind? I think for some people, it may make a difference about whether or not they choose to go. So, yeah. So what are you hoping to hear in terms of safety and protocols for January? And what might you expect to hear, for this Wine and Dine coming up very soon?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine, Nate, and we were discussing the, because he's running the Dopey. And he was like, he's a little bit nervous about this whole thing. I mean, we're vaccinated, we're all set. He has parents who are vaccinated, but also, what's the term, vulnerable?
Vulnerable population.
And so, his father had cancer and is doing well now, but, again, susceptible, and we got to be careful. So he's a little bit worried, and he's like, do you hear anything? Do you know anything? That's the thing, and it's funny, Michelle, because even what you were saying about the Boston Marathon, my thought goes to, okay, what about the volunteers? They haven't even reached out to the volunteers about this stuff. What are their protocols? What are they expecting to do? I want to know, you're going to have, they used to have, what were they called? The Cheers Squad, the Ear Squad, whatever they were called. How many of those people are going to be lining the streets, and are they going to have to be required to be vaccinated or have a negative test?
And so the families who travel to these races with their runners.
Yeah. And they're there. And then, in terms of the water stations, you're getting handed within a foot of you. There are runners all around you. I mean, I know in that Runner's World article, they were talking about hey, look, I mean, even though if you're vaccinated, even though you're safe, when you're heading up to the corrals, wear your masks. At the end, when you finish the race, put your mask back on. These are all, pretty obvious things. But I think for a lot of us, right, I would think, Michelle, I want to know, tell me specifically, I want to feel safe. I want to come down there. And I want them to tell us what they have in mind and what they're going to do. And going back, Nate had said to me, I look at the Wine and Dine as a test run. And I wonder if that's why the numbers are low. People want to see first, what are they going to do before I run the race? So I don't know. Mike, would you sign up? If your knee was better, would you have signed up for the Wine and Dine?
Well, Chris, I think what Nate said has, makes a real good point. I thought that they would be trying to see what they could do for Wine and Dine, figuring that the Wine and Dine race weekend would not be as crowded as the marathon weekend. And they would see what kind of protocols worked, what didn't work, and then they would tweak, adjust, whatever, for January. But there's nothing in the on the site that says what they're going to do. You brought up a good point that made me think of something. Michelle and I have volunteered a few times for marathon weekend, and I can tell you that a lot of the volunteers are in that category that is most vulnerable when it comes to, the coronavirus. So I'm wondering if that's going to impact the number of volunteers. A lot of them are in their 60s and 70s. I see elderly people who are trying to, do their work, and I do the volunteer stuff. So that's a group that, I think a lot of people may forget that are going to be impacted. So I'm puzzled by the lack of any again, I haven't found any. Maybe it's on the site, but I've been looking at the Wine and Dine site, and I cannot find anything addressing COVID. Yeah.
I keep going back into it all the time, trying to see if there's anything to learn. But even just like you said, like the expo, you know, the expo is a long process. When you're, you know, the way they've had it is you go into one building, you get your bib, then you walk over to the other end of the arena and you get your package with all your shirts and stuff. And then you have to get out and walk around and go to the other side and pick up the next thing. Like they have like three buildings you have to walk through. And there's going to be hundreds of people there. And obviously it's inside, so they're going to make you wear your mask. But, you know, it'd be nice to know ahead of time what you're going into. We have to buy tickets.
The Boston organizers, I don't want to say there's too much communication, but like in the past week, I've honestly had like 10 emails from them as a volunteer. So they are really keeping us on top of things. And not only did I have like general, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to think about, this is where you need to be. I had a personal email from somebody who's my, you know, quote unquote captain of my area. She's like the volunteer captain who said, hey, just checking in, make sure, you know, you need to bring your vaccination card and make sure you're going to be there at 6:30 in the morning. So it's been really, really good because I haven't had to wonder where I need to be, what I need to do, and how I need to be safe and how they're keeping all of us safe. So,
yeah, I don't think that's too much to ask. I mean, I know we're a month ahead of the Wine and Dine, but it would be nice to sort of get an idea. And things are going to change in the next 2 months, right? I mean, I don't know, but I think, Mike, you got your booster shot.
Yes, I did.
Good man. We're talking about it. I'm actually due as of the 11th, so I'm going to go and do mine. I don't know about you, Michelle. I know you have.
They have Moderna booster shot yet.
Well, what's interesting is this may go onto a tangent, but I was looking up that information, and don't quote because I'm not an official. But the way it looks like is if you had Pfizer, you can get a booster shot. But if you have these certain qualifications over 65, you have medical conditions, you know, hypertension, or in my case, I have thalassemia, which is a form of anemia, like sickle cell anemia. You can get a third shot of Moderna. So you're able to do that. It's considered a third shot, not a booster shot. I'm not sure why that makes a difference. I would think a booster shot is the same as a third shot, but because we've been looking at it, we've been trying to figure out, because my wife is doing the same thing. We're kind of like, look, I want to be fully sure that when we go down there, again, not to bring too much of family stuff into this, but, you know, her sister is compromised with her lungs. She's got pleurisy. She went for her first shot. And in one of those cases, you know, how they make you wait 15 minutes. She waited 15 minutes. She got in her car, started to drive away, and went into arrest. And she had to drive back to the place, and they actually rushed her to the hospital where she was shot with, like, an EpiPen and stuff like that. She had a reaction to the shot. And so, you know, that's an issue. And yet she wants to come down because her daughters are going to be running with us. And so these kind of questions are things that aren't esoteric. They're, hey, we have family members that are coming that are going to be with us. We're going to be around other runners. And then we're going to be going. And she's like, I'm going to stay home. I won't go to dinner with everybody. I won't go to the park. And it's like, well, why are you coming? Like, what are you doing? But we want her, that she wants to see her children. And we want to be sure that she's safe. So these are just, you know, a myriad of questions that we have. And I hope Disney's going to eventually soon give us a little bit more updates on what their protocols are.
Chris, any last words, Mike? Yeah, I was going to ask you and Michelle, do you think you guys should be running with masks? You know how crowded it gets, especially the 10K. The 10K is really crowded. Because the way it runs around Boardwalk and everything.
I will even say the half is pretty full too, because that usually is the busiest race. Like, it's the heaviest attended. I'm not doing the 10K, but I feel like I in the corrals, I'm going to wear my mask. And I think after I finish the race, I'm immediately going to put my mask back on. And maybe it depends on how close we are when we're running. I'm going to have to play it by ear.
About Cone Alley,
Right. There's parts.
It may not be Conali anymore.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't even have a map yet, do we? They haven't sent that stuff around. But usually they don't do that for a while yet. So, it's I don't know. Michelle, are you going to wear a mask?
I think my plan is to do exactly what you're doing, to wear a mask in the corral. Honestly, having taught now 3-hour classes at the university, I'm running 10, 11 miles every weekend. It still makes me kind of winded to talk with a mask on for 3 hours. So I don't know how I'm going to be. I don't think I'd be able to run. I think I'd probably drop out first before I was able to run. So I'll wear my mask. I'll assess the situation, see what the safety protocols are. And then, I'm sure I'll run with a water belt or something like that, and just like you, pull the mask out as soon as I'm done.
Yeah.
And have hand sanitizer and all that stuff.
All the fun stuff.
The running belts.
Have like a utility belt with hand.
I was gonna say, like, I normally have like goo and aspirin or Advil or salt tablets. I'm gonna probably put in some Purell on that band. So, all right. So let's switch over to our bit on wait times. So if you're new to the episodes, this one. So basically, what we were doing, because of the Genie system and the Genie Plus system, if you didn't want to pay that extra money to get the Genie Plus or pay those a la carte cost for the big rides, how long would you wait on an attraction for an attraction? Michelle will be going alone. Mike will be going with a significant other, and I will be going with my wife and two kids aged 8 and 10. So that will play into this. Mike will record our answers, the length of, he will give us an aggregate of how long we would be waiting and what the full total time would be. So Mike, get your calculator out so you remember by the end of this portion of the show. So we're going to start off in Toy Story Land, right? Or Pixar, what Pixar Place? What's it called over there now? Toy Story Land? Michelle, Alien, this is an easy one. Alien Swirling Saucers. How long are you willing to wait?
Gosh, I've been on that. That's kind of cool. I would say 15 minutes if I was by myself.
Okay. Mike, what about you and your significant other?
My significant other and I would also wait no more than 15 minutes.
Yeah, even though I've got kids, it reminds me, what was the, out in Disneyland, it's the same ride as, it was like the Flying Saucers of the original Disneyland, and then now it's the tire one that they used to have, but they changed it off. They had the cow tipping one now, but it used to be these saucers or these flying whatever. But anyway, 15 minutes, because it's not really that much fun, and the kids will be bored after a while. Next up, this might be my, of all the attractions, even though I'm a Star Wars fan, this might be my favorite new attraction at the Hollywood Studios, Michelle. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Oh boy, I will tell you that I got into line with a 90-minute wait this summer. It didn't take 90 minutes, but it's worth it.
You were willing, though.
I'm willing. It was, mostly the wait was inside, but I just, that attraction, my grin is huge for the entire thing. I'm like, just like a Cheshire cat, like, oh, this is amazing. It's so fun. So wasn't crazy about the social distancing in that line, but anyway, or when I got up to the front and they were going to cram us in with two other people, but definitely I would wait 90 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mike, what about you?
I agree. I think it's a pure Disney attraction, something that's been lacking for a long time. I would wait. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd go 90. I'd probably go 75, but yes.
Yeah, I think this is what Disney should be doing more at their parks, is not just importing outside ideas. Like, I love the Star Wars, I love Marvel, but, create something new based on their own properties and have something fun. I think, I was going to say 60 minutes would be my max wait time. I think with kids, though, you're right. I think I might go 75. So give me 75 as the max for that one, especially with the kids. Michelle, speaking of Star Wars, the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. Have you done that yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I were by myself, I would probably wait an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Do you enjoy it, or is it
fine? You know,
because usually as a single rider, you get stuck with like a family of four, yeah. And you're like in the back seat where it just sucks.
I think for me, it's not because it's like an earth shattering amazing ride. It's because it's still new. I've only done it once or twice. Mm. I feel like I haven't given it a real shot, but mm-hmm. it did not knock my socks off. Mm-hmm. I thought the theming going into the attraction was actually probably more exciting than the attraction, but okay. Yeah, if I was by myself, I would probably wait a little longer.
Mike?
As someone who can remember buying the ticket books with the A, B, C, D, and E tickets, I would say that this is maybe a C ride. Right. So I would probably give it 30 minutes at the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Because usually it's never 30 minutes. It's usually like a bit longer. I will say with my older kids, it was definitely the idea of doing better and scoring better, much like Buzz Lightyear. You know, there's that like who beats who tends to get the kids excited. And my kids were really excited to go back on to beat their last record, and who did, you know, remember dad, do this. And you have to make sure that you, you know, go up when you're in this part, so we don't crash and we lose points. So they were enjoying it. I would probably say an hour is my max, but, yeah, I think I'm going to stick with an hour. I was going to say, I'll make them more,
but those age kids, you know, that ride might be worth an hour.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously the queue is a lot of fun because it looks like a Star Wars thing, and the technology behind this is amazing too, just knowing how they load. I was seeing the behind the scenes on Disney Plus about this stuff, and it was just amazing to see how they load this, and you know, you don't even realize it, but really good stuff. An old favorite, Michelle, is one that I'm a bit of a fan of forever, is Muppet Vision 3D. What are you looking to wait for that?
Oh, gosh. That's a great question.
Thanks. I thought of it myself.
I love that. I can't get enough of that. Mm-hmm. But I've been on it a million times, too. I would say probably 20 minutes I would wait for that.
Okay.
20 minutes.
Mike, I know you love this attraction, so.
Yeah, I'd say I'm probably... Boy, this is tough. I guess I would go as much as 30 minutes probably with this. Yep.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it can be called a classic at this point, right? You know, I mean.
Could be, yeah.
A lot of fun. I think, you know what it is? I would normally say 15 minutes, but the wait outside with the video screen going keeps people entertained. So I would go as far as 30 minutes just with that, having that wonderful pre-show.
It's interesting because having done it this summer, and this is why I kind of had a sort of moment, they still forced us to go down and to the right, even with COVID.
Mm.
And then they also forced us to not leave any seats
open,
like unfilled. And I felt uncomfortable with that. So
yeah.
That's sort of my only, like, not really sure what I feel about that. But I kind of left the space open, and then I was kind of given the stink eye by some folks. So, And isn't the Muppets Haunted Mansion out today?
I believe it is. Yep.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? I got to leave now.
Like, goodbye.
Good talking to you guys. Bye.
So anyway, it's an interesting filter to think. COVID or now.
I know. That's like part of the thing too, right? All right. So now we're going to go 0 to 60, Michelle. We're going to go to the Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith.
I would wait an hour. Love that attraction.
Yeah.
I think I've probably I would probably just get off and go on it like four times in a row. Love Aerosmith. Mm-hmm. Love the theming of that. Can't get enough. 1 hour. Even Single Rider, in which I did wait this summer, Single Rider, because I think there was a cast member who didn't understand how Single Rider works.
Oof. Mike?
I think that attraction is 75 seconds long, so I'm not sure if I would wait an hour, so I'm going to give it 30 minutes.
I've got the 8 and the 10-year-old, and I remember my kids were 8 and 10. They had to be on this ride. They could care less how long it took. So I'd be even willing to go as far as an hour on this one, just because it's that launch that just sets them off, and they love it. So
yeah, you know how we feel about our fans. I love the pre-show too.
I was gonna say I was gonna do some lines for it, but I don't want to take us too long. Moving on, we're gonna go to one of the newer attractions, which I've only gone on like 2 or 3 times so far, which is Slinky Dog Dash, which is the new ride that everybody races to go see other than Rise of the Resistance. Michelle, how many times have you gone on Slinky Dog?
Oh, let me think. 0.
Really?
I have never been on it. Every time I go, the wait is 90 minutes, and I won't wait 90 minutes.
Well, obviously that's your...
Yeah, I would wait probably 30 minutes, but...
But you've never been on, so you don't know.
No, I haven't, and I wanted to. That was like on my must-do list this summer.
Interesting.
I decided to sit by the pool at Bay Lake Tower instead. So,
interesting
choices. Yeah,
I
want to.
I was going to say this is going to be one of those rides that when you do go on it, you're going to be like, "No, I'll wait." Like you're going to be like, "Why did I wait so long? I should have just gone on this ride when I could."
I want to. It looks really cute.
So, Mike, you haven't gone either,
right? And I think because of that, I have to agree with Michelle. I'd say 30 minutes until I know for sure, you know, what it's like, and then it may go up, may go down too. Who knows?
I will say
I'm a huge roller coaster fan.
I usually do them once and that's it. You know.
Yeah. Slinky Dog is this weird intersection between like the goofy roller coaster in the Magic Kingdom and Rock and Roller Coaster. It's sort of like a middle space there. It's a lot of fun. My wife will tell you it's probably one of her favorite rides.
Looks like a smooth roller coaster ride.
It is, and there's moments where it stops and it launches you, and there's, you know, all kinds of... So it's not like I'm going to be sick, but it's also like, oh my God, this was so much fun. I can't believe this. I want to go on again. It's definitely one of those rides where you get off and go, I want to go right back on again. So,
Chris, how would you compare it with Big Thunder, though?
Better
than Big Thunder, okay.
It's got... Big Thunder kind of just keeps you going and it, you know, tick, 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 tick up the top and then you land, you know, Slinky Dog, it's just, you don't expect things. Like it's just, there's like, it almost feels like there's 3 or 4 sections to the ride and each part of that ride is different.
Oh.
Like it's a different type of ride, each section. Like one is the up and down, up and down, up and down. And the other one is like, we're going to launch you up into space. And then the other is like, we're going to do like swoops left and right. So it was definitely a fun attraction that I think actually is better than Thunder. I think we might wait for an hour for this one.
Wow.
Yeah, no. Once you're on it, it's definitely, it explains, I mean, it probably will explain to you guys why there are long lines waiting in the beginning of the day because people absolutely love it. An old standby that's not part of the full new attraction, Michelle, is Star Tours. The Adventure Continues.
I definitely wait 30 minutes for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, especially having, was it behind the attractions? Was there one on Star Tours?
I can't remember. It was, yeah.
Yeah, so enjoyed that, enjoyed the whole story behind that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. Can't get tired of that.
As long as you don't get motion sickness, right?
I don't. At this point in my life, I don't.
Good. Mike, what about you? Star Tours?
Yeah, I mean, it's been around for a while, and if you had asked me this 15, 20 years ago, I probably would have said an hour, but now I'd say 30 minutes, yep.
Yeah.
It's a different attraction now. I like the, you know, the rebel spy, you know, I think that's kind of cool.
I know, we finally, on this past trip, we've gotten everybody in our family to be a spy, so everyone, we've filled out the dance card.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
But yeah, I think... for us at this point, it's turned into if it's 20 minutes or less, we'll go on. So I think 20 is the max. If you have a child who loves Star Wars, it's definitely one of those you wait much longer for. But I think we're at a point.
I like the queue line for that too.
Queue is always great. I like that you get a different ride each time now.
Yeah, I do like the that part where there's like a silhouette of people going through the the terminal. I guess that's kind of fun.
I like the one where it's like you have an R2 that goes by with the Mickey ears.
Yeah.
Another favorite of our family, Michelle, is the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
One of my absolute favorite attractions that I did not go on this summer. But I would wait 1 hour for that if I was by myself.
Oh.
Again, cannot get enough. Love the behind the scenes Disney show about that on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I have to say, we're not talking about this, but never thought that it could be plussed, but the Disneyland Guardians of the Galaxy was the most amazing exercise in how you can take the exact same ride and make it completely different and hysterically funny. I laughed the entire time. I love the Tower of Terror.
Nice. Mike, what are you thinking?
For those who are going to Walt Disney World this week, you should be aware that the attraction is operating at 50% capacity, so the lines are longer. But I would say 30 minutes for me.
Yeah, I think with the kids love it. I think we're going to go as much as 45 minutes. It's definitely a keeper. I mean, when my kids were really, really little, I think when we went on, the kids were maybe 5 or 6 or something like that. They were just of height. And my son was screaming and crying, and we had to pull him off the ride before we got on. But he absolutely, like, now he loves the ride so much. Like, we have to go there. If you say Rock and Roller or Twilight, he's like, Twilight, let's go. So times change as you go on. A few years ago, I remember every time you would walk into Hollywood Studios, you'd go up to Rope Drop. So they'd have, like, basically they'd bring you up to the middle almost by the hat, which is now gone. And once they dropped, everybody ran to this ride, Michelle. Can you name this ride?
The Little Mermaid.
Wrong.
I didn't think it was.
I know.
It would be Toy Story Mania.
Correct.
Yes.
Everybody would race there. And it's interesting now it is not so much as a initial destination, but how long would you wait to get on Toy Story
Mania? I think that's still really, really fun. I would say 30 minutes for that one.
Yeah. Mike? You and your significant other?
I'm going to say I'd wait up to 45 minutes for that. I really like that one.
Yeah. I think so, too. With the family, 45 minutes, the kids love this. It's always like what it is about kids and competition. They all want to, even if they don't want to, well, they definitely want to rub it in the parents' face, but also just their siblings' face. Like, I beat you. I got beaver and you only got cat, you know. It's like, okay, whatever. So that's always a joy to be a part of. Now comes the big question. So one of the big beyond the Genie Plus is going to be those a la carte ones, and the big one that everybody talks about, which is now turned on there, you can walk right on, not even walk around, but you can standby line, is Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Michelle, what are you feeling about that one?
Gosh, if it were just me, I would wait an hour. Yeah, probably not more than that. I think Mickey and Minnie is like my top threshold, but Rise of the Resistance is very, very cool. So an hour.
All right, Mike, what about you?
I mean, it's okay. I think I'd go again with 30 minutes the most.
Really? Yeah. I will say... when I first went on it, it was the ride that I felt like I was most in a Star Wars movie. I felt like I was part of a movie. I was in that world. And I would definitely say at least an hour wait. I would definitely go for an hour. My kids, I think I told the story, we went and we were able to get on right away at like 7 o'clock at night. There were only 2 other people on the attraction with us, and they were blown away by this. They were like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever. And so if you do have young kids, this is definitely the ride to take them on.
I think you're absolutely right, though. It really makes you feel like you're in the movies. I think the cast members are really, I mean, it's definitely the really mm-hmm. cool ride and the atmosphere, but the cast members really make you feel like you're in a movie.
But even just character. Like as you get on that ship and you see an X-Wing next to you and you get on that ship and it feels like you're on a ship, and then you automatically assume you're going to get off on the other side, like from where you entered, thinking, oh, of course, it's just not going anywhere. You're just getting off on the other side. But they make you go out the side you came in. And it's totally different. And you're like, wait, what? How did they do that? Like, now it starts to feel real. And you're walking onto an Imperial ship and there's a line of stormtroopers. And then when you're on the ride and you see full-sized AT-ATs or AT-ATs, AT-ATs or AT-ATs or, you know, whatever you want. Like they call them walkers, whatever. The whole, there's three different names. And they're like full size. And you look up and you're like, holy crap, I'm in this thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a fascinating, again, as the Star Wars fan, that's the one that makes me feel like I'm in more than even the Millennium Falcon. I feel like I'm
And movie, like so. There's shooting going on and I was ducking.
Yes.
Like, I don't know why. I was like, I need to duck here.
Yeah. I'm vamping now because I want Mike to start adding up numbers and give us an aggregate and then give us like the full time or wait time, because that's all of our attractions for this one.
Do we miss any, Chris?
Is there any I missed?
There's no Indiana Jones right about now.
No, not right now.
Stage shows are probably
yeah,
Little Mermaid. It's not really going right now.
Frozen sing along.
Yeah, I'm going about what they have available now, and even some of the ones that they say are like the schedule's unavailable.
Oh, you know what's a really good one that I probably wait like 20 minutes? There's like a Mickey and Minnie's, what's that movie, like the little short?
Oh, the Dreams thing?
They're on a vacation, they're doing a picnic. You know that one? Hmm. They're on a picnic.
I know Walt, what's that one, Walt's Dream or...
Yeah, One Man's Dream.
One Man's Dream.
Yeah, that's cool. But no, there's a right near where the American Idol area used to be. There's like a
Mickey and Minnie
Red Carpet Dream. I don't know. Hmm. Is that it? Red Carpet Dreams? But that's really kind of cute.
Yeah, it's there's definitely like other things to do. Like I would like. I mean, I think I read that they're coming back with the Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Attraction
yes, I did
soon.
Hear that. Yeah.
Which is gonna be fun.
That's my favorite all-time movie.
Really?
Indiana Jones. Oh, yeah. My favorite.
Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark? If it was your favorite movie, you would name it by the proper name and not...
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, you know...
My favorite movie.
They renamed it to Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is sort of like the Star Wars A New Hope change.
Well, that doesn't make me less of a fan, right? If I didn't know that.
You have to be adherent to the original. You can't call it by this new name they call it. Yes. I will say, I think... Raiders may be my favorite. It's weird. It's sort of like Raiders.
Really? We have that in common?
Raiders, Star Wars, Back to the Future, and Empire tend to be the top four for me. But they, you know, they hit me right at that right age.
Yeah. When I think probably my second is Young Frankenstein. So we digress or diverse or whatever.
Yes, definitely good.
Enough of that.
But
all right, Mike, we're discussing.
Not yet.
Oh,
right,
Chris, what
else do you want to talk about?
No, it's you know, it's interesting because I think about the Genie Plus system. Because I was telling my wife about this earlier, and I was like, "Oh, this is what we're doing," and she's like, "But that's not fair. You can't just." Add up all the numbers and say you're going to wait, because you're not going to wait all that. You know, there are going to be some attractions that aren't that long of a wait. Like you said, Muppet Vision, we're going to wait, you know, half an hour. Well, it's only going to be 5 minutes. And I totally get that. I think what we're trying to prove here is like, if you really want to see as much as humanly possible on for the money that you're spending, that you really do need to get into like the Genie Plus system. Which is unfortunate. It's like basically forcing your hand. You have to spend more money.
Yeah.
I don't know, Michelle. Like, do you feel that way, or do you feel like it's like just like a bonus for certain times when you don't need to always do it, but once in a while you can do it?
What do you mean by always? I don't know. Now it's interesting because my kids are grown up, so yeah, they don't often go to Disney with me anymore, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I probably would throw money at the problem right now, where maybe when my kids were young, I didn't have the means to do that.
Yeah. But that's the point of it all, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think that's what we're saying. Like, you know, it's not this is not a destination for people who financially can't spend a little extra money.
That's right. So I don't think one thing that we did talk about was the streaming of the Magic Kingdom fireworks, Mike. Mm-hmm. The not harmonious, the
enchantment.
Yes. Thank you. It was on the tip of my tongue. So what did you think of that? We didn't talk about that. Did you see that, Chris? You don't watch the streaming.
I have not been watching the stream because I figured it's better to watch it first in person so you get the feel of it before you get a preconceived notion.
What did you think, Michael?
I think Disney Enchantment is very much like harmonious in that it's just another, what people are calling it, a clip show of Disney movies.
Raised hits.
And no, not much of a storyline. Someone had made a comment that they looked at Harmonious and they looked at Enchantment, and it seemed like they picked the same songs.
Hmm.
I think that the sad part is that in both cases, with Harmonious and Disney Enchantment, there's a little bit more technology being used. The way that they bathed the Main Street USA areas in lights and projections was pretty cool. The stream from the Disney Parks blog was not that good, but if you go on YouTube and look at some of the vloggers who have recorded it, you'll see how bright everything is.
For the people who were there at Enchantment, it seemed like the feedback was that it was better than Harmonious. And I would say just watching it from home, it seemed better than Harmonious.
Yeah, I think you're right, Michelle. I think one of the big things that the reoccurring thing with Harmonious is that people are confused by the ending.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of it or whatever.
What does it mean? What does it all mean?
Yeah, so we'll see. I think that there may be some adjustments coming down the road.
There always are. I mean, they'll definitely update it as time goes on. So, Michelle, as you look at your phone and not looking at me, is there any attraction that you, like, as we wait for Mike? Are you done, Mike?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, you are ready. I was going to give it, like, a vamping question, but all right. So, again, this is, give us the numbers, Mr. Number Cruncher.
So, Michelle is definitely the most patient person among the three of us.
Well, and I think it's different when you're alone.
She looks like she's probably averaging about 40 minutes.
Averaging, really?
Wait for any attraction at the studios. Then we move down to Christopher, who is not quite as patient as you, but not quite as impatient as I am. So he's around 35 minutes on average. And with me, I'm barely at 32 minutes. And it really should be close to 30. But there are two attractions that kind of put me over the 30-minute average. One thing I wanted to point out to the two of you is that you both feel that you would wait for the same amount of time for both Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance. So does that mean that Smuggler's Run is just as good as Rise of the Resistance? I don't know. But both of you said you would wait an hour or more for both Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance.
So I would wait 65 minutes for what Rise of the Resistance? How's that?
Oh, change it now. No, I think they're definitely two. They're good rides. Like, you know, like they're good rides. But I also think it's also a difference in, like, I've got kids with me and they want to go see these things, you know, or Michelle can probably, you know, enjoy a single rider. So I give you. So what do you have the full wait times for? If we were to wait on all of these lines, our max wait time, what would it be? Or did you not do that one?
All right, all right, Chris, now you can ask me that question.
I forgot what I was going to ask.
I was answering a question about the Boston Marathon, actually, looking at my phone.
Oh, were you?
Okay. Yes, I was. Somebody was asking me about volunteering. Yes, sir. What is it?
I was going to say something about an attraction, but I totally forgot now. So I think we're stuck. But so how? Actually, I'll ask you this: how's your training going?
Oh, it's up until last week, it wasn't going really well. And
really?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was talking to my physical therapist who's doing virtual Boston, and we were talking about how hard it is to train, and I'm finding it really hard to come back, but I realized that I was pushing myself too much too soon. And I actually started to integrate walk run into my training, got back to my Jeff Galloway days, and came out of my 10 miles on Sunday feeling much, much better. Much better. So, you know, I realize at my age, I'm not training for like a Olympics or PR. Yeah. So I'm absolutely fine with that. I just want to feel okay. And I was feeling like crap from 8 miles up until, 10 miles. So when I changed that, it all felt different. So how about you?
No. You know, it's so funny. I spent the beginning of the pandemic, I said, screw it. I'm going to take this time and I'm going to work on my time. I'm going to run more often. I'm going to try to run faster. I was trying to build up speed. And I blew out my knee. I think I mentioned the fact that I had tendonitis.
Oh, yeah.
And I was struggling because I would run and it would just pop. And I was like, oh, no. I thought maybe I'd, torn an ACL or MCL. Luckily, it was none of those things. It was just tendonitis. And I was prescribed this Voltaren cream. It's like
Like something on Star Trek.
I was going to say, it definitely sounds like an alien on Star Wars and Star Trek. It's just an inflammation cream. So a lot of people use it for arthritis, but you can use it for this kind of stuff. So I kind of slowed down and I started on that, and I started to get, I decided to go do this training, and I wanted to get back into it. And at the beginning of my runs, it was just so tough. I was struggling time. I was like weak. I wasn't getting through the runs very well. I've now hired a nutritionist to help me, and who has been showing me the right foods to eat, how much to eat, because I told her during the day I get tired midday. After I go for a run, I have to fall asleep for like 2 hours. It's like it's not working for me. Yeah. And so she has sort of given me a really good bit of advice in terms of what I'm eating. And I gotta say, I started pumping up the miles this past weekend. I ran 10 and a half on Saturday, and I ran a half marathon on Sunday. So, and I felt good. I wasn't tired afterward. I was a little sore. I mean, I did it. I did not run my best time that I've ever run it, but it felt good to kind of get to that level. It gives you confidence when you sort of get to that level and you say, oh, I can do this. And now I just have to build up my stamina and stuff like that. So it's a nice feeling. So yeah, my training's good. I just picked up new sneakers today. I've changed sneakers when I started this training. I had been running in Canvaras, Saucony Canvaras. They're very lightweight. Okay. And I thought maybe that was part of the problem because I was having leg issues. My calf was straining, and I went down to my local shoe supplier, the running guys. They're a mile from my house. They are so wonderful. If you ever have problems running, getting somebody that knows a lot about running shoes and that kind of stuff is great. Don't go to the big box chains. Go to somebody local. They gave me great advice. He prescribed the New Balance 880s, which I picked up, and it's helped me immensely. I love those sneakers now. I've been running in those. I picked up two new pair today because I figured I'm going to need two to get through to the marathon. One is with Gore-Tex. So when it's a little rainy out there, a little wet, I've got some protection for my feet. So it's been a joy so far. So I'm knock wood. I'm going to be just keep moving forward. So, but I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. Mike,
yeah, I did do the same thing. I actually realized that for my running, when I run distances, my feet expand. Mm-hmm. So I realized that I need to go back to my marathon training size, which is a half a size bigger.
That's the big thing that people forget.
Yeah. And also need a big toe box. So I run an Asics Nimbus and went to the Asics. We luckily have an Asics outlet nearby and worked with the folks there. And I actually moved to a wide.
I did too.
Because I have an aroma in one of my feet from running before.
What's your aroma? Is it like potpourri?
vanilla and lavender. No, my aroma kicks up at like 7 miles. It's like somebody sticking a screwdriver through my toes.
Really?
So, yeah. Really? Oh, it's awful. And I remember it for before. It's like, oh yeah, I remember you, my old friend. So, but boy, a new pair of sneakers. I feel like I'm running on clouds. So, yeah. So I picked up a new pair of Asics and I think I probably have to pick up another one too.
I did the same thing you did. I went to a wide, which helped a lot with the muscle strain in my calf. And, it's not really the calf. It's not behind, it's on the side a bit. It's the muscle that kind of wraps around. And, once I went to the wide and, I went a half size up.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, Chris, I've said this to you before. You know, I'm always like the drug dealer for technology, but the Theragun. Ugh.
I know you keep mentioning that. It just looks obscene though. But
yeah, I mean, there's a $300 model, which is not cheap. And then there's there are models from there, but I actually just throw it right in my running bag when I go now and do it before my run, do it after my run. It is amazing. It is amazing. So my PT just did Reach the Beach, which is I did this race before. It's a 210 mile run from New Hampshire mountains all the way to the beach in New Hampshire. And she said she just sort of clutched it like a baby during the entire thing. Somebody even said, is that good? And she said, I love it. And the person like took out their phone and ordered one right there during Reach the Beach. So it is, I'll tell you, runner's friend, Theragun. Yeah. Do it. Okay. Do it, Chris.
All right. That's the next purchase because I'm not spending it. I just spent like $400 on sneakers today.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's so worth it. So
they always say the only thing you have to buy when you're a runner is sneakers, but obviously that's not the case.
Oh, no.
No, you got to get the Theragun. So, yeah. So it's my wife got her new sneakers yesterday. So she's feeling like she's like, I feel like I was on clouds today. It was wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Yeah, so.
So, Mr. Michael.
He's still looking at numbers.
Yeah, wow. I think I want to go back to the original, and I think you're a little bit more patient than Michelle.
What?
I went through the numbers a little bit. Yeah, it's actually, you waited, you kind of, it's instead of it being Michelle 40 minutes and you 35, I think it's the other way around.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's Michelle about 35 and you're 40 because I just looked at the numbers for the total time, and Michelle would wait a total of 7 hours and 15 minutes, and you look like you're going to wait about 7 hours and 45 minutes.
Hmm.
So you are a little bit more patient than Michelle, and it could be because you have kids.
I have kids, and this is definitely the park for the kids. If you want to bring young kids, it's definitely it's that middle-aged kids. It's not like the young 5-6 kids, which will probably be better at Magic Kingdom. They probably love the thrill rides and stuff like that. In this
and then you get to Scrooge Scoper and I'm 5.5 hours.
I want to get in and get out.
Scrooge
McScoper. Scrooge McScoper, yeah. 5.5 hours, yeah.
If it was a line for the bar or a line for the cheese plate, somewhere you'd wait.
The Dole Whip.
There you go.
No, the cheese plate. You'd be there for the cheese plate.
Yeah. It's all good, so. All right, so I think that does it for today. We probably kept people way too long. They're probably like, enough already, shut up. but so I guess this will wrap it up for this episode of Mickey, Miles, and More. On the next episode, we're going to talk about the Animal Kingdom. We are on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. And so for Michelle, Dr. Michelle Scriven-McLean, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the park.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey, Miles, and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey, Miles, and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.